Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro Call. Today is September 24th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality. We're on any Google Podcast or Apple Podcast or any podcast application that you use. Or you can go to motorvitality.com where you can listen to years and years and years worth of them on archive. Speaking of motorvitality.com, I wanted to mention that we are finally, some of you may remember from last month I was saying, hey, we're down, but we're coming up soon. I think we got all the bugs worked out of our website, and it is flying, working pretty well. Corey has been doing some amazing things for us on YouTube and updating some of the member exclusive tools that we have. So not only do you get some significant discounts on the Motor Vitality Marketplace, but there are some member exclusive tools and webinars and all kinds of things to check out there. So if you haven't visited in a while, take a look at some of the things we have to offer and stay tuned because we have some really exciting things coming down the line that's going to help us in the industry quite a bit. Okay, so I also wanted to mention that if you missed some of the classes, like the opening session or some of the classes, we just had the WQA Mid-Year Leadership Conference, and it was virtual this year, so they recorded the classes and they were up. Some of them you had to be registered for the event. Some of them were open, like the opening session was open to pretty much everybody, as long as they're members. If you haven't seen that, there was some really great information that came out of that, and I encourage you to take a look and go back and listen to that and spend some time with that as well. It would have been a lot more fun to be in Tahoe doing it live and seeing everybody in person this year, but in some ways, doing it virtual gave us some extra time to really communicate and made it a little easier for attendance. And so I definitely encourage you to check that out as well. I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened to anybody that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help with? Any questions or anything we can help with?
Kelly, I have a quickie. So I had, I saw a newspaper article just recently in the last week of different companies that have been fined different amounts of money because they were not compliant with the new COVID rules. And some of them were small companies, and they were fined like $15,000. And this is just within my county. They were fined like $15,000, and they're small construction and roofing companies and things like that. And most of the reasonings were because they didn't have somebody that was in charge of making sure that all the rules were followed. And also that they just, you know, they weren't offering free masks or making sure that their employees had masks and things like that. And, you know, as much as I don't know about everybody else, I am just done with hearing about all of it. I'm not saying that it's not a something that we need to be paying attention to, but, you know, so I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but everybody needs to make sure that their companies, that you have somebody that's in charge of all of making sure that you're following the COVID and the CDC rules and everything else, and according to your local and your state. But just make sure that, you know, you're following the rules, because I'd hate for small companies, just because of some simple thing, somebody walks in the door and they see one of the service technicians out in the driveway that's not wearing about it, and they turn you in or something. And that happened to be the case with one of the companies. Was there was an employee outside, wasn't wearing a mask, and came within 6 feet of a customer, and they got upset about it, and then found that they didn't have anybody that was in charge of making sure rules were being followed. So just another public service announcement. Make sure you have somebody in charge in your following roles.
I think that that's really good advice. I also think that it is symptomatic of how polarized things are and probably will continue to be. I was thinking about this morning, kind of as a segue, Jen, on this call. Just, I know that of the 15 or so people that are on this call, you know, or the 10 to 15 that we have live, or the people that are listening to this on recording, every week, I know that that some of us have different political views. Some of us have different religious views. Some of us, you know, we have touched on that, on how to handle that with our customers a little bit. But I got to tell you guys, just as a side note before we go into our topic, how much I look forward to and appreciate the fact that we can come on here week after week after week and leave that polarization for a half hour behind, you know, and look at what we are like-minded with, you know, what our common goal is. I really appreciate that. I hunger for it. And to be honest with you, it is something that that is just very much appreciated and very much respected from all of you. But I think to your point, Jen, you know, I think that that's a legitimate concern. They're there. But the whole issue of it became too politicized. And what you're discussing, I think, is more a symptom of that polarization and that politicalization of the situation. And I just think it's all the more reason to focus on what we do, you know, and helping people and serving people. Being respectful of each other and not inviting somebody to come in. And, you know, most of these small businesses are just trying to keep their doors open. They're just trying to help people make a living, you know, and it just, it's like there are a fair number of people out there that are looking for reasons to create the chaos. And you know, as much as we can to avoid that, I think the better. As much we can do to avoid that, the better. So,
Kelly, good. I think it's actually, this is nothing new. Every company is supposed to have a safety trainer. You're supposed to, if you're a small company, you're supposed to have toolbox, what they call toolbox safety meetings. OSHA's been around for a long time, and basically, it's just, you know, there have been some things added to the safety laws. And I think a big part of the problem is it's not nationwide. It's, you know, every area has its own rules and regulations. And there's sometimes it's enforced, sometimes it's not. But $1 for some of these small companies, that's a big chunk for a small company to buy it off. And so it's a small thing for a company to look at what's been in place for a long time, and that is have those safety trainings. Put some things in place in your company to make sure everyone's following the rules. But it doesn't matter what you think, it's what the law is. And it's a small thing to do that. And these companies that are getting fined are recognizing the importance of that.
Well, generally, the companies that are being fined, I suspect, are the ones that are blatantly disregarding the, you know, and I that's an assumption. It's not necessarily true. Sometimes people just make a point, but you know, I do think that Jen's point, you know, to look at that, and that's really, a lot of the people on this call are not the ones in a position to check that stuff, but you can, as Jen suggested, make sure, you know, it does have an impact on you. If your company is not following those guidelines, then gently, respectfully, politely, you know, make a recommendation, because it does have an impact on your job and, you know, your future, your income. So,
well, right. You may not be a decision maker, but you may still be an influencer than that. So,
yeah.
And particularly in a small company.
Yeah. So, thank you, Jen. I think that's good. Anybody else have anything to add to that? I think it's interesting to see, you know, how we're beginning now to see the impacts long-term impacts on the industry. I've seen it in the supply chain just this last week, more and more, and it's definitely had an impact on motor vitality. But also I've seen it with, in talking to dealers, in talking to manufacturers, the supply chain is there. You know, it's you being able to, every dealer that I know is crazy busy. They are, customers are, you know, they're home, they're investing into their homes and their businesses. And I'm seeing dealers that are just having a real hard time having, you know, getting product the supply chain has been really impacted because the manufacturers are having to manufacture using social distancing rules and or they are having a hard time finding the labor to produce the stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how we as an industry adapt and how that has an impact on us, as we move forward. We talked about this a little bit last week about how people have been fairly patient on the customer service side, but you can sense that there's a frustration boiling, you know, that with all of that. And there, occasionally you still do get it. So just be aware that everybody's sort of in the same boat. We're all sort of feeling the same thing. And, you know, somebody's got to be the grown up in the room or the calm voice as you're going through those things. So anybody else have anything? I do have a topic that I wanted to talk about today that's more sales related, water treatment sales related, but anybody else have anything? So I wanted to, we had one of our MV pros had a situation a couple weeks ago, and we've talked about this before. I actually think I mentioned this in my book just a little bit on occasion, but because it does happen where that customer calls two or three, you know, usually with the house lead, or if they're looking, they call two or three customers or two or three companies out to their home for different quotes. Sometimes those overlap, you know, that customer takes, an evening or an afternoon to handle it all, you know, to knock it all out, to have it all out. So, and when they call to set those appointments, you know, they ask the office, how long is that going to take? And the office never wants to say, oh, it's going to take an hour and a half, 2.5 hours, because we're going to do all of these water tests and it's going to do all, you know, nobody at the office ever says it. Salespeople never say it's going to take. I mean, what do they always say? They minimize that time, right? They say it's going to take, it should take about an hour depending on the questions you have. Now, it's not uncommon. Sometimes you can do a sales appointment in an hour, okay? You know, you can do it within an hour. But it's also not uncommon for it to go past an hour. So that customer, they schedule a 2 o'clock, a 3 o'clock, and a 4 o'clock. Well, if you happen to be the 2 o'clock, that's great. You're there, okay? You're in there. But then the next person comes behind you, and they're knocking on the door at 3 o'clock. You know, particularly if you don't have a company vehicle, your vehicle's parked on the street out there, and you know, that 3 o'clock person, that competitor, they don't know that you're still in there. The office said it was going to take about an hour, but you're still 25 minutes away from finishing your presentation. You haven't even begun, you know, you're still going. You had to do a plumbing assessment. There was this. You got into a conversation. You haven't even finished. And now there's a knock at the door at 3 o'clock, and that next person is coming in behind you. Okay, and it gets a little awkward. What's the customer do at this point? You know, does the customer, sometimes they'll tell you, I've got somebody coming at 3. Sometimes they tell you that 15 minutes before that 3 o'clock person. You know, there's somebody else coming at 3, and now you're rushing around thinking, God, I wish I'd have known that, you know, 45 minutes ago that I only had an hour, okay? So let's stop there for a second and talk about how to avoid that situation, because that's probably happened to all of us where we have been there and then 15 minutes before the deadline, before their time is up. And this is not really the fault of the customer. The office, somewhere along the line, they were told, or they made an assumption that it was only going to, they gave you an hour. That's an hour. That should be enough time for you to come in and do a plumbing assessment and test the water and give a quote. I mean, that's in the customer's minds. They have no idea, you know, but they're thinking an hour is reasonable. And in fact, they probably wouldn't have set the appointment if you told them it was going to take 2 hours. You know, that's they're going, what, how long does it take to test the water? You know, if they've done, had any sales people out to their home with insurance or windows or any of that, they might thinking that, oh, I got to have 2 hours because of the magic show. They're going to be attracted to that person that says they can do it to, you know, in under an hour. But what do we do? What do you guys do in that situation? How do you avoid that happening in the first place? And if it does happen, how do you handle it?
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
I've been on the other end where I pull up to a house.
Yeah.
And there's another company there.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that one in a second. So table that one for a minute, because I want to talk about that side of it too, that approach. Okay, I want to talk about what's happening inside. What's happening to that guy, the guy that's inside the house? Let's talk about that one first, and we're going to come back to that one, Bob. Because that seems to have happened to me more often as well. But I want to talk about how to avoid being the guy still inside. Anybody have any ideas? So my suggestion on that one, before we move on and talk about, because I know that, Bob, there's you and actually just recently somebody else on the same team ran into that situation. But I think the best way to avoid that happening in the first place is to, you know, you're allowed to ask relevant questions. Okay, so, you know, I think that every time a customer has somebody out to the house, before that salesperson comes out to that house, they are wondering two things. I think every homeowner that has a salesperson, whether it's our industry or any other industry, I think that they're wondering two things. They're wondering, how much is it? They want to know how much it costs, and they want to know how long it's going to take. Those are the two things that they do not know. They're unknowns. Okay, how much is it? How much is it going to cost? And how long is it going to take? They don't know the process. Okay, those are, and I know that, that's because those are the questions that we get when they call to set the appointment in the first place. They're always wondering that. I know that because I was a homeowner when I had salespeople out. That's what I was wondering. How long is it going to take and how much is it going to cost? So I think it makes sense to address those things really early. Okay, the way you can address that, first off, I really do believe that it's relevant to ask every other professional out there, ask how you're going to pay for it. You know, doctors, you have to fill that out before you ever even see the nurse, before you get your blood pressure check. You have to tell them how you're going to pay for it. You know, lawyers, you have to do it. Accountants, everybody, you have to tell them how you're going to pay for it before you do it. So I'm not saying that you got to pop that question out first thing before, you know, how are you going to pay for this if you decide to do it? You don't have to say it that bluntly, but you do need to find out if they have a budget in mind, you know, and address that question. Ask how much they expect to spend on it. But also talk about their time. You know, so there are three things. I really appreciate the opportunity to serve you tonight. There are three things we're going to do. We're going to do a plumbing assessment. We're going to test the water. And we're going to, based on the information we gather from the plumbing assessment and testing the water and some of the questions that we have for you, I'll make a recommendation. That should take about an hour or so, depending on the questions. Does that work for you? If the customer says, ooh, I've got somebody else coming in at 3, that's important information to know at 2 or 2:05. Wouldn't you rather know that you're limited on time so you can cut out the chit-chat and the small talk and not have that? That's going to show respect for the customer's time, something your competitors are unlikely to do. Okay, that's going to show respect to them. So I think that it's important to ask those questions from the very beginning to make sure that you, you know, and one of the questions you can ask, you'll sometimes find that information is, you know, have you had an opportunity to research water treatment? And sometimes the customers say, well, that's what we're doing this afternoon. Okay. How so? How, you know, what all are you doing besides me coming out to test the water? What else? Well, we've got somebody coming at 3. Oh, okay. Then I guess I better, you know, you know, you don't have to say that out loud, but that's good information to have. So now let's talk about it the other way. All right. So you can show respect by finding that information and getting that there. And you can, if you stay with it and you can do a pretty good presentation in an hour. You know, it can be a little challenging if they decide to buy right then and there, and they're going to do financing paperwork and stuff like that. I mean, it does limit you a little bit, but it also is an opportunity for you to show respect for the customer and their time. Okay. They're going to remember that. They will remember that. Now let's talk about, Bob, what you were talking about, where you've been the one. Tell me about that experience. And I know, Maria, you had an experience like that as well, right? Where you show up, your appointment is say 3 o'clock, and somebody is still in the house. What do you do?
I just pulled over and called them.
Okay. All right. So let's go. Okay. So Bob, you stopped and you called the customer. And you knew that somebody was still in the house.
Yeah, to give them a courtesy, I just said, hey, I'm 5 minutes away. I just wanted to give you a heads up.
And what did they say?
They were like, fine, come on over. I went back. The van was gone.
Aha. You know? So they got that. Okay, good. So they got the guy, the competitor, out of there.
Right.
And yeah,
so whatever happened to the guy.
You never met the guy. So I think that's awesome. You drive up there, you see the company vehicle there. You know that that gives you some valuable information. So you call and you show up. Did the customer tell you that somebody had been in there right before you?
Yeah, because she ended up buying from us. And he was, he was trying to sell like a $6,000 water system. So I never mentioned anything to the customer. I didn't want it to be an awkward situation for the customer. I didn't care about the guy, but I didn't want it to be where they were put into like an uncomfortable position. So that's why I just said, you know what, let me just pull over and call. And
Okay. So Maria, you had one where you actually showed up when the customer or when the other salesperson was still there, right?
Yes. A half hour prior to the appointment, I had contacted him and said that I was on my way and confirming our appointment. And he said, could you make it a half hour later? I'm running late. He didn't tell me why. He didn't say any reason. But when I got there, when he wanted me to, I showed up. The other company he wasn't finished yet. So he told me just wait, and so I waited by the door, and then the other company came out a little while later with him, and they said their goodbyes, and they left. We sort of ran into each other. He wasn't finished with him yet.
So here's, from a customer standpoint, because I know how that can feel, right? I mean, from a salesperson standpoint, I'm thinking, well, that's a little rude. You know, that's a little disrespectful. We had a time scheduled and we're doing this and that and so on and so forth. It can feel that way, especially if that customer is a nice person and they're shaking hands and they're laughing and they're, you know, and it looks like they had this great, that can be a little disconcerting when you first walk in. Now you're like, okay, that salesperson obviously had this rapport. Now I have to start there and try and get that same rapport. You know, and it puts a lot of pressure. I mean, that can be a little stressful, you know, so, but let's look at this from a customer standpoint. Well, let me first ask you, did you say anything? Did you have any kind of verbal exchange with that other salesperson?
There were pleasantries. Nice. And you were correct. They did have a very, they were laughing and joking and, you know, friendly as they were leaving, which was a little disconcerting. And, you know, so again, that was a little bit. And I did go, once we had like stepped away and the guy left, I asked him about his appointment with that gentleman and what were the things that he liked about that company. And I just did a little bit of,
just questions to see, you know, what he liked about that.
Yeah.
And if he had questions about what the guy had told him, and he said he did, and I'm like, we will go through anything you need, and even if you don't use me, I will always be a resource.
Shows respect and professionalism. Excellent. And full disclosure, I actually talked to that customer that had happened to, and he very much respected you for all of that. So, so in the last 5 minutes here, anybody have any suggestions on how to handle that situation? And then I have a couple to follow up, but I leave it to you guys. What has anybody else run into that? And what do you do in that situation? How do you handle it?
So Kelly, I have one. It's a little bit different of a situation. I guess it's a little bit different of a point, but what I would do, we had a competitor who for some reason was always out there before me. And one particular time I sort of changed up how I approached the situation. And instead of going into it with an attitude of, oh, you know, they've already done everything, this customer doesn't want to hear what I have to say, that sort of thing, I simply asked more questions. I was like, hey, you know, I obviously don't want to waste your time or anything, but I'm curious, you know, what you guys went over, you know, what you learned, so I don't repeat anything for you. And he actually said that the previous people didn't teach him anything. They just sat down at the table and were only there for about 20 minutes. And they were like, I was hoping we would learn something, but we never did. And I was like, oh, yes. Well, let's start from the beginning. I used to be a teacher. Sometimes I train a little too much. But I will go through everything with you. Since I started doing that, approaching it from that direction, it really helped. I mean, every single time.
Yeah. So that's the point, Corey. That's in the last 3 minutes, that's what I want to kind of summarize and give somebody some tools to take away here. That's excellent. Okay. First off, let's remember that most salespeople out there, they like to tell people. It's all tell. It's present. It's tell them what all they should do. There are very few questions. It's not diagnostic. It's not customer centric. It's even though they pretend it's not, it tends to be a one size fits all. And customers are interested in the information. They don't want the magic show. So I think exactly what you, Maria, you said a version of it, and Corey, you said a version of it. This is what you should do. Ask them. Look, it's obvious that you're researching and that you're looking into this. And so that actually helps a lot. Are there any features that you have learned about? And you don't necessarily have to ask specifically what that company said or didn't say. Make it more general, okay? Don't make this more of a general question. Are there any features that you have learned about so far that you would like me to expand on or show you how ours does or what it does? Are there any features that you are most interested in, you know, regardless of the brand? You know, what have you learned so far that really excites you? You know, what questions do you have about the information that you have gained so far? And approach it that way. And if they are like what you said, Corey, where they didn't really explain anything, then the follow-up question sometimes is, how much do you want to know? Well, I'd really like to know how they work. Perfect. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to kind of start from scratch and then just kind of explain to you how these things work in general, and then I can give you an idea. Even if you don't, sort of like what you said, Maria, even if I don't have what you're looking for, at least it gives you an idea of what questions to ask and how something works as you continue to do your research. And it makes you the expert, and it makes you, I mean, you, look, don't get me wrong, I want your business. But I also recognize that if I don't have what you're looking for, you still need to solve this problem. And I want to be a resource for you. I want to be a professional. I want to be an expert for you. So, and I find that especially when you're up against a competitor or a couple competitors, that's being that resource, being that professional, putting yourself above the fray, not getting into a pissing match as you pass as one comes out and the other enters. I think that stands out in the customer's mind. That makes all the difference in the world. So we're out of time on this, but any real quick final thoughts or comments on this?
Then I will just go ahead. One more thing.
So I'm going to agree with Corey. I have found often many companies go in front of us, even whether no matter what their estimate or whatever their thoughts are, they don't tend to explain what they're doing. So I consistently find that when I explain what I'm doing and, you know, they like that because, he just told me what my hardness is. He didn't explain what, you know, they do like the visuals. They like to know what I'm doing.
Yep. I completely agree. Guys, this is the difference between salespeople and sales professionals. And I'm just to hear you guys say that, it warms my heart. I really appreciate it on behalf of the industry. So, all right. Everybody, thank you so much. I really cannot even begin to tell you how much I value this time and how much it means to me that you guys take your time and spend it here on Thursday mornings as well. So be safe, everybody. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So, all right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Kelly.
Bye.